I've only got one of the two memory verses because we're doing two lessons this morning. That's what I've been told by my boss. So it's lesson 83 and 84. So I'm going to give you the ones from 83 because I haven't got memorized in the ones from lesson 84. And Exodus 20 and verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And the purpose of the lesson this morning is we need to realize that God's people shouldn't conform to the pagan religious practices, the Babylonian pagan style of worship. And so many people don't understand. I got saved and it was neat. Barbara Ho got saved. Her background, Roman Catholic like mine. So it made it easier for me to talk to her. And it's one of those things where it teaches salvation's in the church. It's in Jesus Christ. It teaches that you have to be baptized as a baby because if you die without getting sprinkled, you cannot go to heaven. It teaches a lot of different things like that. Is it Christian in its background? Are there many people who are saved? Yes. But they're saved by not trusting in the teaching of the church, but trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save their soul. And you got to understand that. There's people who say, well, I'm a Baptist. You go down south and they all claim to be going to heaven because they'll tell you they're a deacon or a deaconess or they're this or that in a Baptist church. Go down the Bible Belt. And many of them aren't saved either because they've never truly trusted in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And so we're not supposed to have anything before us. And I grew up, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be totally disrespectful, but we used to kid about it as, you know, I'd go to my grandfather's house and you had Mary in the bathtub, okay, or Mary on the half shell, okay, because you're worshiping, it's a veneration of a saint, a Mary. And when I talked with Barbara, I talked to the fact that Mary is not the co-mediatrix. She's not equal with Jesus Christ. That's what they teach, okay? And so she spent time with her going, oh, those things. And it was a case that made it easy. Mark and Roxanne had really prepped her. She was ready. They'd given her tracts. They talked to her about it. And I think only because of the Roman Catholic background, where you have to deal with the priest, and they don't quite understand. I've been called father by a lot of people. And I don't mean one that I'm trying to help. I mean, they think that's a veneration. And she didn't call me that, but she remembers when I talked with her husband before he went home to... Okay, and so it was one of those cases of looking at this, and when it says you shall not have any graven images, we're not to have them, okay? We're commanded not to make any graven image for worship, and our devotion is supposed to be towards God. And the first and great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As we look at it this morning, what we're going to see is sometimes, if we're going to follow and obey God's commandments, it takes faith and courage. It will also take a cost. The good news is that when you stand for the Lord, He will be with you. Okay, and so you need to understand that in this and in our lesson, we find this is in Daniel chapter 3. I know the memory verse was in Exodus, but the lesson is in Daniel 3 and Daniel 6 this morning. It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel in the lion's den. These are the two things, and this is what we'll do to get caught up. And in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had, you know, he got full of himself. The Babylonians worshiped their king as a god, and he decided to set up his image. And he was concerned about the image in his dream that it was going to be destroyed. And so, you know, we saw that in Daniel chapter 2, the image and stuff. And the command was given that when the sound was given, the sackbut, the cornet, the whatever was played, they were to bow down to him. Now, he had the image built in Dura. That's the plain of Dura. He didn't have it built right in the city of Babylon itself because they had high buildings. Now, the image was approximately about 6 feet wide or 6 feet in circumference, and it was 90 feet tall. Approximately, that's how big this thing was. And in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the command was given, and then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 2, sent together all the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the other rulers. See, you do answer to the sheriff, even though you don't want to. And all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You know what's being driven home? It was an idol of man's own making. And anything we set up that we hold before God is an idol. Then Herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, you ever notice that when you're worshiping a false god and you're worshiping an image, there's music tied to it? Music is inherently spiritual. Don't ever forget that. Okay? They fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Because you know what happened? They wouldn't fall down and worship a graven image. Because the first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you won't make any image of them. Judy and I would drive around with Steve and Dawn, and then also with Kevin and Nancy over in India, the people who went over there, and I went with Pastor Kenny. He's gone, you go out, and they have idols all over the place. They worship snakes. They worship elephants. They worship monkeys. They worship dogs. They worship everything. Okay? We went to a village that had the cobra mound, and they worshiped the cobra. Anything that could hurt them, they would worship. They would hang a stuffed image of a man by its neck outside their house so that when people went to put curses on them, that image would take the curse of the demons on it. They'd paint faces on the pumpkin, the rear pumpkin of dump trucks, okay? So they could keep the demons off them. So they made an idol out of the rear pumpkin, you know, if you don't know what the pumpkin is, that is the gearbox, okay? What? The rear differential. Well, they ain't going to know what that is either, John. So it's the back end, and you can see that. And it's to keep the curses off them. And so what you're reading here in this book is still true around the world today. They still throw babies into the Nile or into the Ganges River to worship the river god, which is crocodiles. Okay, so that's just the way it is. And you say, how can they be that foolish? When a man or a woman will not accept and worship the one true God, we're inherently spiritual beings. We're going to worship someone or something. And it's a false worship if it's not Jesus Christ. So the idol may have been a representation of Nebuchadnezzar. It was a false god of a symbolic nature. Whatever it was, it represented submission to Nebuchadnezzar's evil rule. Okay? Like they said, when man won't worship God, they're going to worship something else. Trouble we have in today, people try to say, well, I am not religious. They're humanists. That secular humanism is the worship of man. It's built off the lie of evolution. And so they worship themselves. And we're prone to worship the creation. The sun, the moon, the stars. They still do that today, don't they? I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Get your fingers loose because there's a lot of verses in different places. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, and it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, Romans 1:21, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. And then it talks about God giving them over. So this is something that is still practiced today. It was normal. And as I said, in Daniel chapter 3, you see that music was part of the worship. The music was used to bring the people together. It was used to prompt and motivate the idol worship. And I want you to understand, the devil knows how to use music because he was the choir director of glory. He was the anointed cherubim that covereth. When it talks about him in Isaiah 14, it's talking about the parts of a church organ. All I get is the image of Satan over the top of the throne of God, and I'm not saying this is the way it is, but the angel, okay, the cherubim, Satan, sitting at an organ. Right? How many of you ever watched The Wizard of Oz? Okay. The great and powerful Oz. And someone's playing on this thing. Well, you need to say something. Satan knows how to use music. Every pagan religion in the world uses music in their worship because it affects you. And as a three-part being, you are either going to be affected spiritually, emotionally, or physically. And it's very easy. I could take a radio, go into the nursery, and put it on a local rock station and hit the button, and you know what's going to happen with those little kids? Their bodies are going to gyrate because it works on the flesh. When I was the youth pastor, when our church first started, I had a teenagers in there, and I won't give you the names of the teenagers, but it's funny now because one's a sheriff. He brought his girlfriend, and I had them bring in their music, and I was teaching them what happens. Because how many, Kevin's wife Nancy and I struggle. That is because you say something and a song comes to mind. I drive my family crazy and I start singing the verses of that song or part of it. And then if I don't know it, I make up words to go along with the melody. But what it comes down to with that is that music is used to inculcate into your mind because of the cadence, the rhythm, the meter of the music. Helps you remember what is being said and practiced. Okay? And so you turn around with that, the music is used to make you think and to remember. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Okay, so the music is involved. It's part of the idol worship. And it can be a wonderful gift from God, and it should be used to glorify God, not idols. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you can never, ever listen to a secular song. I'd be a hypocrite if I did that. But if that's your primary, then that music and the words of that song have become an idol. And this teenager had his girlfriend. He wanted her to get saved. He brought her, brought her to the Sunday school class, and I'm teaching on music, and we're going through that, and I had them each bring in we're old enough now, they each brought in a cassette. I didn't have to do a 33 long play or a 45 or a 78, which I grew up with. That's the speeds of the records you used to play. It was a cassette. And he in his car, as a teenager, saved, was given a tape by buddies who said, this is really good. The group's name is Poison. Heavy metal rock band. And the song was, Come On, I Wanna F You. And I put his song on, and I played it I could have gotten in trouble with other parents. I didn't know, because I don't know what's on stupid thing. And it says in the repeat of the song, okay, when you get to the chorus, it said that stuff. And I looked at that young man and I said, do you talk to her that way? And she turned bright red. He turned bright red. And he goes, all I wanted to do was listen to the beat, preacher. I didn't know. And I said, but your brain will. They use music therapy to deal with pain. I use music to deal with pain. Phyllis Demarest had 400 different songs she would listen to as her body was being torn apart with the cancer and her spine deteriorated. You have to be very, very careful, because what that song or the lyrics that are put with that song, with the beat or whatever you're listening to. Now, I have things that you can talk about, how that if you play rock music in front of a plant, I tried it, the plant will deteriorate and die. That's one of those you can show it because it's not the same beat, okay? There's syncopation. I'm not teaching about music this morning, but you need to understand the effect that that has. So they use music, and we're not supposed to use the wrong type of music. So if you didn't bow down and worship it when the music played, you're going to be cast where? The burning fiery furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand for God. God didn't keep them from the furnace. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. Understand this. Read it with me. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Shall. That means it's coming. I don't know what the level of persecution will be, but it's there. Shall suffer persecution. It's going to come. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul's telling, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the church at Philippi in verse 29 of Philippians chapter 1, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but what? Also to suffer for his sake. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a matter be established. If you live right for God, you will take persecution in some form. Don't ever think when that happens that God is angry with you. You're giving him glory 180 degrees contrary to the world. And the world is not going to like it. Judy and I, our kids were real little. Okay, if you don't want to celebrate Christmas, you don't have to. I'm not preaching against Christmas or for Christmas this morning. We celebrate Christmas. Was he born on December 25th? No. I know more about the background probably than most of you. I have two different books on that situation. But we wanted our kids, when they were little, to realize, even though he wasn't born then, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. So Judy would make, you made a big turtle cake. Okay, you know what a turtle cake is? It's one of those chocolate with caramel with the fudge frosting. Okay, a great big one. We put candles on it, 33 candles, I can't remember whatever it was. And we were going to have a birthday party for Jesus at my mother's house at Christmas Eve. And I had two nieces that weren't saved. Their mom is now saved. I don't know if the nieces are or not. Actually, one of them I led to the Lord. One of them is the older one. Go to their mother and tell them, Uncle Bryant is trying to push religion on us because we had a birthday cake for Jesus to help little kids to remember it's not about them. Ultimately, it's about Jesus. You can't do that. You're ruining our celebration. Honest true. And I said, well, I'm sorry. And my mother, who is saved, said, honey, light the candles. And we had a birthday cake for Jesus. Although some of my family that weren't saved at the time were upset with it. They didn't like it because I was taking away from the pagan celebration around the bale bush. All right? So this is what you have. Nebuchadnezzar had them thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Do you realize that the other Babylonians accused the Jews of not conforming or not willing to do what everyone else is doing? Look at John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. Jesus' own words. Look at verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the what? The world hateth you. Now that wasn't written to Jews, that was written to the believers. That was Jesus' words. And he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. When the world persecutes us, when the world shows hatred towards us, we're not to get angry and give back to them what they give unto us. Love them that hate you, be kind to them that despitefully treat you, for in so doing you what? Dump burning coals of fire on their head. You know what you're saying? You put them in God's hands. God's the one who's going to repay, not me. I've had people spit at me in the street corner. I've been kicked in the shins before, helping people who weren't saved. And I'll say, God bless you, have a good day. And inside of me, I want to rip their head off in my flesh. But that's not what my Savior is. So love them. Choose to act lovingly towards them that hate you. You want to witness to your people, your friends, your guys you work with? Don't act like they do. Do what God would have you to do. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to worship his gods. Back in Daniel, quickly. Chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 14, spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And he tells them to get ready, because he's going to make it up for them, and he wanted to know if God would deliver them. Verse 15, now if ye be ready that at the time ye hear the sound of all the instruments and fall down and worship the image which I made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He wanted to know he's going to deliver them. They knew it was wrong to worship. That's what your memory verse is, worship a false god. Acts 5 and verse 29 says we ought to worship God rather than men. As a Christian, we're supposed to keep the laws unless they cause us to violate the worship of our God. He knew they were supposed to keep it, and you need to know, people, we're not called to do it easy. I'm sorry. We're called to do it God's way. And if you follow the Lord, there will be a cost. Now, God doesn't forsake you when you're going through it, even though it seems like it sometimes. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that will try you. He may not keep you out of the furnace, but he'll go through the furnace with you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies and aliens. They knew that God was able. Verse 17 of Daniel 3, and if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, that's that step of faith, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. And God delivered them. They were bound hand and foot, thrown into the furnace. It was heated up 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. And the men that threw them in, the fire was so hot that the slaves or the servants who threw them in the fire died throwing them in. That's Daniel 3, 19 through 23. Now look at Daniel 3, 25. Nebuchadnezzar looks into the fire. Other people are dead at the entrance. In verse 24, he says, stone, he rose in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, for the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. God went through it with them. God will give you the liberty needed to do what's needed. And it's far better to go through the furnace of fire here than to live in the lake of fire for all eternity. They glorified God. Know ye not, ye are bought with a price, ye are not of yourselves. Therefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are his. Because they went through it, in verse 30, for sake of time we won't read it, but they got elevated. Well, I will. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. Because Jesus went through it with them, they came out of the fire. And they weren't burned. Their clothes weren't burned. They didn't smell of smoke. A miracle of God. Okay? And he promoted them. It's a foreshadowing of the rewards we're going to receive when we stand for him. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. Let me see. Yes. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. That doesn't mean he's going to deny your salvation. He's going to deny you because you didn't love him enough to stand with him, and you won't receive those rewards. So the lesson is, you got to trust God, you got to yield to God more than man, and you worship him. Now go to Daniel chapter 6. Your memory verse there, and I haven't got it memorized. Got the first one because we're doing 2 lessons. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Why do people kneel when they go to pray? Habit? You're putting yourself in a vulnerable position. So you're trusting in God with that. It's a sign, a form of worship. Okay, you can pray walking. You can pray sitting. You can pray kneeling. You can pray flat on your face. You can it's like green eggs and ham. You can pray in the car. You can pray in the plane. You can pray in the boat. You can pray in your bedroom. You can pray in the living room. You can pray in your dining room. But kneeling is a sign of submission and worship. And if you're going to worship God, being devoted to Him, there should be times, devoted times of prayer, because prayer makes a difference. You notice, and this is the story of Daniel, when he wouldn't follow the commandment, okay, that had come out from Darius. They tried to find fault in him because they weren't supposed to worship or to pray to any other god than the gods of the Medes and the Persians. But Daniel had established in his life that every day, three times a day, he would open his windows, face towards Jerusalem, get down on his knees, and pray to the one true God of heaven. He was in the habit of it when he was in leadership. He was in a habit when he was a child. My Bible says, train up a in the way he should go, and when he's old, and not depart from it. Our kids always watch my wife and I pray. You know what? We get my grandsons, when they were here, would do. They'd sit down and they'd watch Judy and I read the Bible together. We pray. We pray before we eat. They're taught that Judy used to say, pray before you go to sleep at night. They watched us pray. The habit is my children pray, and my grandchildren are learning to pray. They're learning to depend upon God. It was one of the things, it was a testimony to my daughter-in-law, Sheila. When she watched, she goes, Dad, I get nervous about these certain things. And Sheila's grown in the Lord, saved. They got married. She was saved. She didn't have a safe family. And they'd go to do something, and she'd be nervous. I don't know how this is going to work. And she says, and I ask AJ, and he goes, don't worry about it. I've prayed about it. God's either going to take care of it the way we think, or God's going to take care of it the way He wants. But God's going to take care of it. So I'm not going to worry about it. I've given it to Him. You can see God work, and our church is unusual compared to other churches in the amount that we pray. Okay, and so you have here Darius. He was ruling with Cyrus the Persian. Darius was the Mede, and it was the Media-Persian Empire conquered Babylon. They made a command, and Daniel was first under Darius. He was a ruler. He ruled over two other vice presidents, this is Daniel, who oversaw 120 other rulers. By this time, Daniel, when this takes place in Daniel chapter 6, he's in his 80s. It's never too young to learn to pray, and you're never too old to not need to. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. The other rulers underneath him were jealous and envious of Daniel's success, and they wanted to find fault with him. So they had a new law passed, okay, that no one could ask God of anything for except it go through King Darius. Because they worshiped the kings as gods. Second Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So those other rulers, they lied to the king and said that they consulted with Daniel, and the Jews lied about Jesus as well. Okay, because you look at Daniel 6 and verse 7. I'm going to try to go quick. And all the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, say of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. They knew what Daniel did, because 80 years, because they watched him grow up from a young child, He opened his windows towards Jerusalem in his chamber, got down on his knees and prayed. So they knew what he was going to do. They wanted to see if he meant it. So they lied about, they're trying to get him in trouble. They did the same thing with Jesus. You know that? Same thing with Jesus. Matthew 27, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read the verses quickly. Verse 17, it says, "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." So what did they do? They accused him of violating the law. You know what? You're going to live for the Lord. You know what? You're going to get accused. They're going to try to get you fired. They're going to try to make it hard on you. If your testimony before them makes them feel like a sinner. So they did that. Daniel 6 and verse 10, he did as he's always done. It was the habit from a youth. He prayed. And praying is a biblical pattern. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. So it's a pattern. It's not a prerequisite. Okay? In spite of what Daniel did as a leader, second under the king, he still made time for God. What do you think he was thanking God for? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give. In every bad thing that you think happens to you, every good thing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He prayed three times a day. Isn't that interesting? Go to Psalm 55. I'm moving fast. This was the habit of King David. He was a sinner, but he was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 55. Let me see if I got this. Yep. Psalm 55. Look at verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall" what? "Hear my voice." Just following the pattern. We have a faith-based addictions program. The way to overcome your addiction is to replace it. The addiction becomes a habit, so you need to replace it with something from God. The difference is it's spiritual. It never becomes a habit. You choose each and every day to do it. Daniel chose every day to pray. The key to overcoming wrong is to develop a history of doing right. You struggle with something, you bring it to God. You get other people to help you do that. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Didn't say condemnation, it said meekness. Knowing ye yourselves likewise also what? Temptation's there. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to what? Bear it. Okay, so Daniel prayed. He did what he'd always done. Now look at verse 12 of Daniel 6. "Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree." They convinced him to make the decree because his ego got in the way. "Hast thou not signed the decree that every man that shall ask petition of any god or any man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "It is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." You can't change that law when it's given. Thank God in America we can change laws. Then answered, and they said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. See, he's attacking the Jews. O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but make this petition three times a day. Isn't that what the book of what is about? Esther. Okay? The king, when he heard these words, were sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He didn't even want to have to do this. You know, sometimes people who are in authority, they're so stupid. Okay, and I say that from the standpoint of, you got to remember, what did Saul say? The people wanted this, and I forced myself. Political expediency. You want people who are in ruling positions to do what is right and not what is according to some poll. So they said, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, which is the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So he's going in. The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before. Now, remember, that's pagan worship, and he had him stop. That music was used there in Babylon, in the Medes and Persia, is pagan worship. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, the servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and put shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. King's hope was that God was going to deliver Daniel. A stone was put on the den. There was no getting out. You know what they did to the tomb of Jesus? They rolled the stone and sealed it and then put watch over it so that what? Jesus couldn't get out. When the world puts the stone there, God rolls it away. Amen? The king had a terrible night. He was beginning to understand about God. He hadn't come to worship as the one true God. God did not want to save Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered him through it and out of it. Point. God will use tough circumstances and situations to get himself glory. When you're going through it, you see someone else going through it, pray with them and for them. Make it a habit of praying before then so that you can believe that God answers your prayer when you pray with them. Keep a record of answered prayers, right, John? It's the way it works. Okay? Keep a record of that. Mark it down. I love it when people give and saying, God, I want, you know, we've been praying for something, and then they let us know. When you ask for prayer, give the praise when the prayer is answered. Amen? That encourages other people to pray. In verses 19 through 23, we find out that God is going to work there in Daniel 6. And just as the Son of God, that's Jesus, showed in the fiery furnace, he showed up in the lion's den. Revelation 5:5 tells us that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Just for fun. You know what that makes Jesus? The Lion King. He's the king of the jungle. Just because you don't see him that way does not mean that's not who he is. Amen? There's no problem for Jesus to keep the mouth of the lion shut. Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained the promises, and then what? Stopped the mouth of the lions. You know what saves a person from hell? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Believing. Daniel believed his God would deliver him, and God did. When a person comes and trusts Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, it's not found in their good works, their religion, any church affiliation, but in Jesus Christ and what they've done with him, trusting him as their only hope of heaven and their Lord and Savior. He'll save you to the word, the Bible says, to the uttermost. The uttermost. The king, who didn't have a relationship with Daniel's God, had a horrible night. You know what I picture Daniel doing in the lion's den? Hey, Leo, come over and lay down. I need a pillow. Resting on them. You think he was off in a corner hiding? Daniel got a good night's sleep. I will lay my head down in peace and... If a man's ways please the Lord, even his shall be what? At peace with him. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to make it. I didn't think I could get it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 24. And the king commanded, this is after Daniel's taken out of the den, and there was no hurt on him. He didn't even get a scratch. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, their children and their wives and their lions, had, and the lions had mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. They'd throw them in, and by the time they're hitting, the lions were catching them and killing them, crushing them. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages. See, now the ones who said you got to worship Darius, when they were given the same treatment as Daniel was, they were put into the same punishment. What did their gods do? All the false gods of the world, they try to get you to work so maybe you could earn a way to possibly get better, reincarnation or whatever it might be, to go to heaven. And the Bible teaches that if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He wrote a decree unto all people, nations, and languages. Got to remember, this is the ruling kingdom in the world at that time. They'd beaten the Babylonians. That dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before who? The God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto one. When? He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God protected him. Lesson learned here. When you throw mud at others, you get dirty hands. Those that accused Daniel were thrown into the den of lions with their family. Sin always affects those around you. When you've allowed it to come into your life, the answer for it is to pray, ask forgiveness. He'll take it away. And then you live before that family member to try to overcome what they saw of you in the flesh. And God will do that. It is far better to be in God's will than have anything else in this world. It's not always God's will to deliver children from danger. Pastor Christian knew the families of Nate Saint and some of the other ones who went to, it says, Through the Gates of Splendor, I think is the book, where they went to that cannibalistic murderous tribe down in South America, the Aka Indians, and seven men were murdered trying to bring Jesus. The one man's wife, the book was written because she went back down and they led that tribe to the Lord. But some gave their lives for that to take place. Many have given their lives in the place of duty. We have special holy days or holidays. That's what a holiday is. It's a holy day when we give honor to those who gave their life in service of this country. We have holidays when we give honor to those who served in honor for this country. There's a reward for the Christian that stands for God. Romans 8:18, and we're done. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. And all God's people said, take a break.